What a time of celebration we've all been having together over these last few days. We had a fabulous time in here on Friday, celebrating the Queen together and all that she's means, all that she's been, rattling the rafters with the singing, and then the parties and everything else that's going on. As I'm looking out this morning, I do see a few bleary eyes and a few yawns have been around the place. But we're celebrating together this historic moment in our nation's history. And as we are celebrating, we've had so many opportunities to see different aspects of the Queen's life together. And on this day, how do we blend the celebration of that first coming of the Holy Spirit, that day of Pentecost, and this day of Jubilee celebration? How do we blend those two things together? And actually, it's just so beautifully done when we look at Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. There's been opportunities, as I say, to see film of her that we've never seen before, as she's been sharing that. There's been opportunities to hear tributes from ordinary folk like you and I, from celebrities, from world leaders, but speaking about her with such admiration and praise, talking about her integrity, the strength of her character, her faithfulness, steadfast nature. But amongst all the different experiences that she has had, all the challenges that she has faced, all the people that she's met, all the responsibilities that she has fulfilled, and all the scrutiny that she has endured, one thing has remained constant throughout her life, and that is her faith and her love and her trust in her personal Saviour, Jesus Christ. In her own words, she says, "I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning, and I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give of my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in Almighty God." Now, the number of years that Elizabeth has served on the throne is, yes, quite amazing. But the number of her days, as the number of our days, is totally out of our control. Is totally out of her control. But what is in her control and what is in our control is the way we choose to live those days. And that has been such a focus for our Queen. And that is where I think we can truly give thanks to God for her steadfastness and her faithfulness in fulfilling the promises that she made 70 years ago. And she will testify that she's only been able to do that because of her trust and her faith and her relationship in the God she knows and she loves. And it's for these qualities of her steadfastness and her integrity that have drawn so many world leaders to look to her as a role model, as an inspiration of how to handle and manage the pressures of state and statesmanship. She has been their inspiration, but what has been our Queen's? Where does she draw her inspiration? And again, I give you it in her own words. "For me, the life of Jesus Christ is an inspiration, an anchor in my life, my role model." And this then is where those two celebrations of Jubilee and Pentecost, I think, just beautifully blend themselves together. The promise that Jesus gave, that we've heard of in our gospel reading, the promise that Jesus gave that he was going to send his Holy Spirit to make a difference to all believers, to make a difference to everyone who welcomes Jesus into their hearts, that place their trust in him, and then their decision to receive that gift from God himself, changes lives. It changed lives then, it's changed lives since, and it'll continue to change lives into the future. And it can become a world-changing one. And for our Queen, the influence that she's had on the global stage has been enormous, but fired and powered by God's Holy Spirit residing within her. And that Holy Spirit that's in the Queen, received by her, welcomed by her, is the same Holy Spirit in Jesus himself and in each and every one of us when we place our trust and our faith in him. The Holy Spirit is real. He's there to be known and he makes a difference. And he turns dead religion and rules into that life-giving, life-full relationship with God himself. I don't know if you saw anything of the concert last night outside the palace. Yeah, some nods there. What a do that was. I mean, as we were watching it, I was absolutely astounded, really, at the astonishing creativity and the joy and the celebration that was there. And as I was watching all of that, it just struck me, this is what the church is meant to be like. Full of that joy, full of that energy, full of that celebration and that hope and that promise. That's what the church should be like. Infectious with joy and sharing it about. On that initial day of outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was huge joy, but there were also people who didn't still quite get it. They didn't see it, they didn't understand it, they didn't receive it, and instead they tried to explain it away in a worldly thing. There were some people who just were not as joyful as those disciples were and loads of others around them. And actually, last night, although the overriding sensation was one of joy, and the performers themselves were even speaking of the power of that joy that they felt coming at them, the camera kept catching one particular lady in the crowd who that seemed to have missed her, really. And you might have spotted her. If you go back over, just see if you can see her. Pray for her. But that happens. Not everybody gets it. Not everybody understands it. And in the reading from Acts, we hear that the folks who weren't getting it and understanding it were explaining it in a worldly way. They could do no other. They were just saying, they must be all drunk. That's what's making them behave like they do. King David was not drunk, other than on God's Spirit himself, when he was worshipping and dancing and praising and clapping. And people looked on him and thought, the guy's gone nuts. No, it was that joy of God that was bursting out of him that he couldn't contain anymore. That joy, that celebration, that power that the Holy Spirit brings, oh my goodness me, don't we need it every day of our lives? That we keep topping ourselves up on it. But there are people today who still don't get it, who don't feel it, who don't experience it, or are afraid of it. Actually afraid of welcoming the Holy Spirit into their lives because they don't know what's going to happen next. Well, actually, do you know what? Even without the Holy Spirit in, you don't know what's going to happen next either. I'd much rather not know what's going to happen next And I've God residing within me to cope with it and face it. But that joy, and you'll have heard it yourself when people can't explain that joy that's in the church because of God's Holy Spirit. Oh, you happy clappy. Yeah? That's, if you like, the same kind of thing that's happening now that was happening to the disciples then, trying to rubbish it and deride it and undermine it. You happy clappy. Well, what's the alternative? Sad, miserable, and silent. And the church is not meant to be that. But it doesn't mean that jumping up and down is a compulsory sign of the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Publicly, I've never seen Her Majesty do that, have you? And yet, you see, you sense God's Holy Spirit pouring out from her, residing in her, giving her that strength that she needs to fulfill all that she is called upon to do. She's a wonderful example of the Holy Spirit residing and making a difference. And for that, we can truly thank God. To close, God is busy. What do you mean by that, Dave? Because actually, in one sense, of course he is. And of course he always has been. But there is a sense at the moment, in the days in which we are living, that God is busy. He's doing stuff. And he's doing some beautifully new things. To quote C.S. Lewis, you know, from the Narnia Chronicles, you know what's coming next now, don't you? Aslan is on the move. He's doing new things, and he's doing new and exciting things here in Upper Wensleydale, as he is everywhere else. And that's to be celebrated. And he's doing it, and it's happening through his power and his will, yes, but also, so crucially, through people with a welcoming spirit and a longing to see God's kingdom reign, who are seeking after him and want all that he's got for them and their lives. And that changes culture. And that changes behaviour. And that changes the world. And by the world, I mean your little bit. The people who cross your path. The people you meet. The people you live with. The people you work with. That's your world. And through God's Holy Spirit resting and living in you, you can change the world. And it can be done in some beautifully gentle ways. But just by holding to that strength that God gives us. And we need to ask for that power of the Holy Spirit, as I'm sure Her Majesty does every single day. God, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit so I can be about your business. And I'll tell you why we need it every day. And actually why I need it at regular intervals through the day. Because we're all leaky. We all leak. And so we constantly need that refilling and that replenishing of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can make that difference that we are called to make. Yesterday, what a fabulous celebration we had here in Hawes with the party. And then afterwards, The team that had put that together, we were just sitting and mulling it all over. And then I left that to head home. I've never had such a long in the sense of time it took me to walk from Market Square up to the vicarage. About an hour and a half it took me. And here's why. The Lord kept putting people across my path for me just to talk to. It was quite incredible, really. Just kept coming across, and either they initiated a conversation, or as we chatted, they said something, and I thought, I can't leave that there. That needs blessing. That needs taking a little bit further. But on every occasion of those conversations, it was the same message. It was, do you know God loves you? Do you know that God's not hiding? Do you know that when you get to know God, He can make such a massive difference to your life? You need to connect with God, or you need to reconnect with God. Ever so simple. And we can all do that in some way, can't we? Just those simple conversations. And then as I was heading back, once I'd managed, that took me about, well, I said goodbye, and then I was delayed about 45 minutes, then I headed off again. And as I was walking up, a guy just looked at my waistcoat that I had on. And you know just how dapper that was. And he just says to me, God save the Queen. And I started to take another step forward, and I thought, you can't leave that there, Dave Clark. Yeah, and God save you as well. Are you having a good time? And then he began to talk. And as he talked, he started to open up. He didn't know I was a vicar, actually, which was great, because I'd undone my collar by that point. It just shows you, well, none of us are ever off duty, are we, for the Lord? And we got into this wonderful conversation. And it turned out that actually he needed reconnecting with God. He'd had a walk with the Lord and then he'd fallen away from it. He actually came to faith the day after I did, in the same year. And that really shook him, that when we started sharing that together. As part of the same movement of God's Holy Spirit across this land in the early 1980s. Wonderful conversation, but so simple. God loves you. God's not hiding. Why don't you connect with him and discover it again? Discover the joy he can bring. We're meant to be behaving and speaking and living our lives in a different way, not from our own strength, but from the strength that God provides us with. And it is truly a blessing for us all. As former President Barack Obama has actually said as well, that it's our Queen that exemplifies that. And it's our Queen that has been able to bless so many others because of her faith and her filling and receiving on a daily basis of God's Holy Spirit. To do as Her Majesty said, put our trust in God.